God, just like,
I know, it's,
that was 2 years ago. I just feel like it was just something that got talked about a lot on this podcast, like a lot.
Well, that's probably when we were doing weekly episodes, to be honest.
So we were just like, oh, we need some food to talk about. Yeah. And the reason I bring up travel is that I've been thinking a lot about possibly the most memorable thing that I ate on my last kind of major overseas trip, which was now nearly 10 years ago, which is sad, but I am a dad. And I feel like you talked a lot about the tomatoes you had in Italy. Would that be the most memorable thing you ate?
No, like obviously the cantaloupe and prosciutto. Oh,
sorry, we talked about that as well.
Closely followed by the tomatoes.
Because I think the most memorable thing, and it's a meal that really sticks with me from Mexico, was something called chapulines from the Mercado Benito Juarez in Oaxaca. If you can't, you won't be able to see this, but Emily is rolling her eye, like atomic eye rolling at me as I say things in Espanol. But yeah, the chapulines, which were essentially grasshoppers. Grasshoppers fried in chili and garlic and they're just piled up in these big sort of delicious warm piles of chili, garlic.
And are they like size of grasshoppers that you'd see here?
Yeah, they're decent sized grasshoppers.
So that's like at least 2 bites.
Yeah, you could eat them whole.
Okay.
You had to crunch them. Yeah, just like crunch them down. But they were basically like these delicious, you know, like school prawns.
Yeah.
You know, so you just good. Eat them the whole thing. Crunchy, the legs are crunchy. It's like there's a lot of surface area, so it picks up all the garlic and the chili. And I bought a bag of them and took them back to our hotel. And my wife was like, okay, you obviously bought them just to be clever. You don't have to eat them now. And I was like, these things are really good with beer. So I smashed the whole bag.
Yum. I don't think I've ever had a cricket.
Okay. Well.
Well, maybe you've got some crickets today.
Maybe I do, because maybe the ingredient that we're talking about is, what are we going to call it? Bugs? Insects?
Yeah, insects, I reckon.
Creepy crawlies.
Yeah.
Insects. I think everything we're talking about is insects. I guess because if we're talking about worms or grubs, they're not technically insects, but okay. I'm not going to be talking about worms or grubs.
Yeah, neither am I, but I didn't know they weren't insects. That's one to follow up on for me later on.
Okay, well, let's talk about insects. Let's talk about insects.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to start off by taking a trip down a little bit of memory lane to when I used to do a website called Emoji Food Review. That was where I reviewed.
The good old days.
Yeah, reviewed food experiences.
Remember when emojis were a thing?
I know. And I should say that this is before there was an emoji for everything. So I was working with a very limited palette, and it did take me. And it was even before you typed in like tomato and a tomato came up. Like this is when you had to go through to page 27 to get a tomato.
And when you had to turn the emoji keyboard on your phone, God. Which you did for me. Thank you.
So back then I published 2 recipes. One was for chip pizza and the other one was insect related. So I want to talk about the insect related one today. So that was called Scary Fairy Bread, where I bought a 1 gram vial of dehydrated ants from Edible Bug Shop.
Yeah.
So they're tyrant ants, and Edible Bug Shop is like a website where you can buy bugs over the internet. They get mailed to you. So I thought I'd start off with something really small because that's less kind of terrifying than biting into like a whole huge cricket.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what to do with them apart from like garnish things with them. So I thought, why not use them as hundreds and thousands and make fairy bread with
them?
Nice.
Yeah.
So blah, 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 what you do, make fairy bread, put butter on white bread, and then tip on the ants. And then when you eat them, I didn't really know what to expect because I'd never really had ants before, but they're actually really, really strong lemon flavor and also salty. They're actually delicious flavor-wise. Mm-hmm. So like the flavor is like traditional fish and chip condiments. So I feel like
yeah,
you could easily garnish fish and chips with ants and it would be in place of salt and lemon.
Mm, because of the tang and the salt. Okay, yeah.
But the thing is, they're like really, really crunchy and really, really spiky. They're like so spiky. It's actually quite, this is if you're, obviously you're eating like 20 ants at once, which is what I was doing. It's like all like little pin cushions in your mouth. Like it's really quite weird. Have they
still got like sting at that point?
I don't think they have sting in them. There was a stick in there, and I think that was just not supposed to be in there. But yeah, the thing is with ants, you really have to chew them a lot because otherwise they kind of like scrape your esophagus on the way down, and it's a little bit unpleasant. Well, I wouldn't really say unpleasant, but it's just more like I'm eating ants right now, and it brings it to the foreground of your attention.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd highly recommend ants. Maybe not on fairy bread because it's probably too much of a high concentration of ants in one little 5x5 centimeter triangle.
Yeah.
But would definitely recommend buying a vial of tyrant ants off the internet and garnishing your fish and chips.
Okay. I'll jump on the internet and get on that.
Good.
Emily, you're a healthy eater. You're into.
I actually am
health,
at the moment.
Health foods? You are?
Well, I don't know. You haven't seen me in a few months.
That's true.
I've changed completely.
Okay, because you're often atomic eye-rolling at me when I'm on one of my health kicks where I'm not eating sugar. And
yeah.
Have you heard of the bulletproof diet?
No. Okay, I don't do diets.
Well, are you interested in your daily foundation of high performance, resilience and vibrant health?
I don't know what those
are. Don't you want to hack your life with a series of biohacks designed to effortlessly lose fat, enhance cognitive function, and help prevent disease?
No.
Well, what if I told you that on optimoz.com.au, they're not paying me to say this, by the way, you could buy all of your bulletproof needs, like bulletproof coffee, which have you had a bulletproof coffee
before?
Yeah, I made it.
One of the episodes, yeah. Either coffee or butter. I can't remember which one.
Probably butter.
But I know it's Harry Styles' preferred way to
drink
coffee.
That's right. It was the coffee episode. And the, yeah, so optimoz.com.au, you can buy special coffee beans, especially for bulletproof coffee. I don't know how different it is. You can also get grass-fed desiccated beef liver capsules.
Grass-fed desiccated beef liver capsules. Okay, I think I understand.
So
what
I guess
is.
It's a
beef liver in a capsule.
In a capsule form. Dried out in a capsule form. They've also got a dried out, like a granulated bone broth. So it kind of looks like.
I don't like that.
Nescafe Blend 43, but it's bone broth. Or you could get a bulletproof pumpkin spice collagen protein bar if you wanted to buy that. No, you're shaking your head at all of these.
Where did the insects come in?
Well, okay, you're not interested in any of those. What about these roasted crickets with chili and garlic?
They actually sound good.
Well,
based on what you said before.
Based on the chapulines I had at the Mercado, yeah, anyway, in Oaxaca. I found on Optimoz, hack your life, optimoz.com.au, bulletproof power, mind and body. It says things like, this diet is easy to follow and allows for experimentation and variation. No calorie counting, no measuring. The foods are arranged in a spectrum so you can choose how bulletproof you want to become. The more you eat on the green side of the spectrum, the more you'll feel your brain, body, and hormones reawaken as you effortlessly lose fat, enhance cognitive function, and help prevent diseases. I am auditioning to do.
I didn't know we'd gone into live reads. Oh, well, would have been nice to be consulted, I guess.
Unpaid live reads. We're the smartest podcast ever. Yeah, it came with this bulletproof diet roadmap. But anyway, I bought them because of my very, very positive memory.
I'm so excited.
So I have some here. I have some roasted crickets with chili and garlic. The ingredients are crickets, 99%. And they've got in brackets shellfish. Because
I know.
I think you have,
all
if you have
insects might, yeah.
If you have that allergy, yeah. Garlic, chili, coconut oil. It's very hot right now. There's a lot of coconut oil on the Optimoz website.
What we meant to say there, if you have an allergy to shellfish, you may have an allergy to some insects.
Yes.
I don't think we actually said that.
No, but we're just like, yeah, nodding and agreeing. We get it. sometimes we need to remember that there's people listening. So I have some here. Emily, would you like to try some?
Thank you. Wow. They're a lot smaller than... These must be like baby crickets.
They're smaller. Yeah, they're smaller than the chapulines I had. They're, yeah, really little.
Mm.
Oh, I dropped one.
I'm getting garlic bread crusts concentrated.
Yeah.
Like.
But there's an aftertaste.
Mm. And there's an antenna that fell off that's still in my mouth.
Yeah. You got to chew these a lot as well because, yeah, there's legs and antennas and, yeah. They're high in proteins. High in proteins. They're high in protein. Crickets are 68% protein.
Oh, because I read 69 in my research.
Okay.
So maybe they're getting more protein as they...
Yeah. They are easy to digest. I'm just reading off the website now. They're paleo, primal, ancestral, and wild.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean anything.
And another thing they tell you to do is freak out your coworkers. Leave an open tub on your desk and casually nibble at them while in conversation with your colleagues. And I got to tell you, I've been doing that all week. And it's been fantastic. So I feel like I'm biohacking right now.
Yeah. Do you want some more? I feel so bulletproof right now. So... we just ate real crickets.
Mm.
And I've been reading on the internet that crickets are apparently the new kale.
Mm.
Lots of people have been saying that they're a superfood. They're in that elite group of foods that are just like out of control with the amount of good things that they have inside them. So I don't have any fancy words that you got off the Bulletproof website.
Enhanced this is cognitive more like function.
But yeah, as you said, the main thing people talk about is protein.
Mm.
And apparently, gram for gram, they contain twice the protein of beef. And they also contain all 9 essential amino acids. So I've got a different form of cricket food here. This is a cricket energy bar. And this is kind of what inspired the whole insect episode because I got some cricket products sent to me from this company in Byron Bay called Grillo, who make lots of insect-related foods. And so I thought we could try the cricket energy bar now.
Okay.
And it's actually banoffee pie flavored.
Okay.
So I'm really excited about this.
So it's like the next hot superfood.
Yeah.
With the next hot flavor. Like banoffee, is that like the new salted caramel?
Oh yeah, it's probably like market research.
Yeah.
Done. It's on trend right now.
Okay. Doesn't look very insecty. Just tastes like an energy bar.
Tastes delicious.
Mmm.
Let me read the ingredients.
It's got dates in it, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm. Organic dates.
Yeah.
Organic dried banana. Organic pumpkin seeds. Organic sunflower seeds. Organic cashews.
Yeah.
Certified organic cricket powder. Organic cinnamon and sea salt.
That's the bit I wouldn't have picked.
Mmm. Well... let's actually try some organic cricket powder by itself to see if ground crickets taste any better than plain crickets.
So are they ground crickets because they're ground up or are they ground crickets because they come from the ground? Sorry. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for laughing. all right.
How are we doing this? Are we just like, are we racking up? Yeah, are we doing lines of this? Okay.
Okay.
There's some
I've
cricket.
Got a hefty amount here on my finger.
Okay. I'm dabbing at it with a little finger like I'm a 80s TV cop testing. Mm. The
it actually has a strong aftertaste as well, like the cricket. But
it's kind of, it's like a salty chocolate. I don't mind it.
Did I open the chocolate one?
Is it chocolate flavoured?
No, this is just the organic cricket powder.
It's just cricket powder.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it doesn't taste like I expected it to. Like, I kind of expected it to have no taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have a lot of taste, and I guess that's why we couldn't taste it in the energy bar.
Yeah. And when they recommend you make, like, they've got other flavors. Like, they've got one with, like, green stuff that you put in a green smoothie, and you can put this in smoothies and cakes and stuff.
Yeah, is that what you meant to do with it?
Yeah, but you can cook with it and all that kind of thing. But I thought, like, obviously, if you put cricket powder on kale, that would be just, like, an immense superfood. And I thought that maybe there was no point to doing that. Because maybe if you have two superfoods together, they might like cancel each other out or something. So I thought I'd put it on something that maybe needs a bit of a nutrient boost, a bit of a protein boost.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So I've got some chips and I thought we could make some cricket powder flavored chips. So let's see how they go.
Okay, some kettle plain. Like, we're going plain. We're not kind of adding cricket to... It's not going to be salt and vinegar and cricket.
No, I thought you need to start off with a base with science experiments. Yeah. And then we can branch out from there.
Thank you.
Whoa. That's a lot.
This is taking a long time. I'm going to eat some crickets over here.
Well, I've just put a lot on this one. So that can be mine. I'm really scared I'm going to inhale too much powder. Like, you know when you make Milo and milk and then you accidentally inhale all the Milo and can't breathe.
Okay, cricket chips, here we go.
So good.
Yeah.
Actually so good.
Yeah. It kind of just gives a little bit more body.
Yeah.
Bit of salt.
Rich.
Yeah. Mm. There's a tanginess.
You're welcome, Grillo. You can add that to your line. It may not fit in with your healthy rest of your product range, but yeah.
Yeah. I think this is going to catch on.
Mm.
All right. We've invented something. Em, you shared with us before your aunt recipe.
Yeah.
Which was aunt fairy bread.
Scary fairy bread.
Scary fairy bread, sorry. Weirdly enough, inventing that recipe puts you on par with one of Australia's finest chefs.
I know. Tell me more.
Well, Ben Shuri is the head chef and founder of Attica in Melbourne's Rip and Lee.
We do have a lot in common.
Yeah. Was your restaurant recently named number 20 in the world's 50 top restaurants, making it the number one restaurant in Australasia for 6 years running.
Wow.
Going up 12 spaces from 32 to 20, by the way.
He seems to have achieved it a little bit more.
Ben's did that. But the other thing you have in common with Ben Shuri is you've been on the podcast in Greedopedia, because I actually spoke to Ben Shuri earlier today. So not only is he an amazing chef with an incredible sustainability message and does incredible things for the community, he also answers emails when obscure podcasters get in touch. So I spoke to Ben Shuri earlier today, and I started by asking him what kind of dishes he makes at the moment at Attica using ants.
Well, I mean, the two dishes currently are the Black Ant Lamington,
mm-hmm.
Which is a dessert where ants are encrusted around the outside of the lamington, basically in place of coconut. And then the other one is the pav. It's a green ant pav. So those are the two things that we're using them for at the moment. With the pav, there's quite unusual flavors kind of going on there. There's a cheese and there's banana on this pav. And it sounds really weird. And then you've got green ants, and green ants have, you know, sort of vibrant flavor of thyme and coriander. They're really citrusy. They're really super delicious. They're harvested for us Northern Territory by the Motlop family of the Larrakia people, and And so that's an amazing Australian ingredient to me. Like, that's one of the finest, one of the most important, most special, most significant ingredients. And they are lovingly harvested from the wild. To me, that's an ingredient which is just so rich in culture and Aboriginal heritage, and goes back tens and tens of thousands of years. So one of the most significant things you could eat in Australia, in my opinion. And put it on, you know, on a dish that's really iconic to this country. It's very thought-provoking for people every time they eat it. But not everyone is aware of our country's and our Indigenous people's rich history of eating these ingredients.
So how did you come to find that they worked in a dessert?
It's not even a dessert, actually. It's savoury. So this pavlova has a little bit of sweetness. We haven't used the green ants in desserts, but this pav has... This is like a salty, cheesy, sour, and then it has this kindness of a slice of banana, and then it has this vibrancy of, you know, lime, coriander, and lemongrass. Some people think there's lemongrass coming from the flavour coming from the ant. It doesn't make any sense when I say those flavours and combinations, but when you eat it, it does make sense. It's one of the favourite things of a lot of people eating here, and almost everybody that comes here, it's the first time they've ever eaten ant.
Noma Mexico were doing ant egg to starters when they were going. Did you get a chance to try then?
I didn't go to Noma Mexico, unfortunately, but he invited 10 of his close chef friends and organised this research exploration into the Mayan culture in Yucatan, and this sort of fundraiser to try to help raise money and awareness for Mayan farmers farming corn. And so I went on that for a week with him, and we ate ant eggs on that trip a couple of times, actually. They're interesting. They're very bland. They really don't have any flavor. They're more of a textural thing, actually. They're a little bit like eating, they're like a less flavorful version of eating wishti grub or a hoo-hoo or New Zealand hoo-hoo grub. So I enjoyed them, but I think, you know, it's a cultural thing. You need to, you know, understand the culture first to appreciate them.
Have you seen anyone else doing interesting things with insects around the world from a food perspective?
Yeah, I mean, Renee has been using ants and bugs for a long time, but probably the first person that any of us really saw using them was Alex Atala at Dom in Brazil. They're a part of Indigenous culture there too, and I remember him presenting a small jelly with a green ant set in the middle of it. Probably 8 years ago now, at a symposium that we were both at in Copenhagen, and that was, you know, it was pretty interesting. Ironically, I had attempted to do this dish about 10 years ago before restaurants started using ants more commonly. And it was sort of like a honey dish with Indigenous fruits. And I tried to attract just wild ants to come and eat the honey. But the ants never came for the honey. It must have been a long time of the year. So I tried to do that, but then gave up when my ant trap didn't work. But yeah, I think, you know, when you start to sort of delve into culture, my particular interest is in the culture of Australia, and that, you know, includes Indigenous culture, which to me is one of the most richest and important cultures that we have in Australia, if not the most rich and most important. I just wanted to use ants. It was an important ingredient in the history of Australia. It's been eaten by Indigenous people here for thousands and thousands of years. And I was using all the Indigenous fruits and herbs and spices, shellfish and fish that we could get, and insects or ants in particular you know, are a delicious and sustainable protein source that makes sense in our history. And I sort of wanted to be able to show people that, show, I guess, that this is something from here. This is not something from another country. This belongs to this country, and this belongs to Indigenous Australians. It's their heritage, their ingredient.
So that was a little bit of my chat with Ben Shuri earlier today. He was on the phone from Attica, so like he was just sitting in the dining room before everything kicked off for the day. So the phone line was a little flaky, but you know, one of the things he talked about was how different ants can be. So he uses green ants in that pavlova dish he was talking about, and dehydrated black ants in the lamingtons that he makes. And he was saying how different they are in flavor, and also in how you prepare them. So the black ants were dehydrated and really sort of crispy, whereas the green ants, he gets them frozen from the Northern Territory, and you don't need to cook them. They're just kind of like a little flavor bomb. And just incredible to hear him talk about, you know, characteristically knowing exactly where it comes from, the stories that that ingredient tells. And yeah, it was pretty incredible to be able to talk to him. So thank you, Ben Shuri, for joining us on Ingredipedia.
Have you tried either of those dishes?
I have not.
I need to try that pavlova. It sounds so good.
Well, hopefully it's still on the menu in October, because that's how far out Attica is booked. October, we're recording this at the start of July, and I don't know when it's going to be released. We're recording this at the start of July, and bookings for October went online today.
Okay.
They're probably very likely October is already all booked out, and then November goes, you know, so it's basically 3 months out. You've got to think about going to that restaurant. It's small, and it's on a suburban side street in Rip and Lee, and it's making some of the best food in the world. So pretty incredible to get to talk to him today.
Okay, so personal question. Do you sleep with your mouth open or closed?
I don't know.
Well, if you sleep with it open, yeah, you may be worried about the number of bugs you've swallowed in your sleep.
Okay. Well, I hope I sleep with my mouth closed then.
I think a commonly held belief is that over the course of your lifetime, you'll swallow about 8 spiders in your sleep. Mm. Have you heard that before?
I've heard that, yeah. Yeah.
I remember on the playground as a kid and finding out and then forcing myself to like try and breathe through my nose, but it just being impossible because I can hardly breathe. So for this last fact of mine, I wanted to find out whether this is actually true. And yeah, I didn't talk to one of the best chefs in the world, so I feel really quite inadequate now. But I'm just gonna
hey, you
talk
might get
about
some
my
sympathy
desktop
votes.
Research.
You might get some sympathy votes.
All right. Aiming for the sympathy votes. So yeah, I did a little bit of research, and someone had asked that exact same question on Quora. So an entomologist called Martin Shalomi answered, and he said, insects are not that stupid. They will not crawl into warm, moist, CO2 exhaling cave. That is pretty obviously the entrance to something big and living. Granted, some insects like roaches do occasionally crawl into ears and get stuck, but that's very rare. The idea that we swallow a certain number of spiders every lifetime / year / night is just an urban legend.
Wow.
So you can rest easy.
Okay.
Spiders are too scared to crawl in our mouths when we're asleep, and that's just the way I'd like it to stay. So listeners, you can fall asleep calmly with your mouth wide open and not be scared that spiders are going to crawl in there and lay a million eggs.
This has been an Ingredipedia community announcement. Okay, well, you've been talking about not catching insects.
Mm.
I want to talk about catching insects, because people might not just be able to, like, you know, order frozen green ants from the Northern Territory or buy cricket powder from Byron Bay or, you know, but might still want to eat insects and get the health benefits for their bulletproof diet, for example. So how do you catch your own insects? And actually, oh no, you ordered your ants in. I was going to say you didn't try and catch ants.
But I liked
ants.
Ben's idea of setting up a honey trap.
Like, so yeah, but it didn't work.
Yeah.
The best chef in the world couldn't catch ants.
Yeah.
But luckily, the good people at Backpacker Magazine, there's a magazine for everything, have a helpful guide. And so they've put together a guide, essentially a survival guide, if you need to survive on insects, on different types of bugs. And they've given some helpful hints, and I liked a few of them. So this is potentially what Ben should have done when he was trying to catch ants. The method for catching ants, just scan the ground, and you're sure to eventually find a skittering battalion of ants. They march in straight lines, so they'll lead you straight to their home base. One good way to collect them is to hit an ant hill or other habitat, like a rotting log, with a stick a couple of times, and then put the end of the stick in the opening. As the ants rush to bite the stick, dunk it in a container of water, ideally the container you want to cook them in, and repeat until you have a few hundred.
Hmm.
So you put the stick in, the ants jump on the stick, and then you put the stick in water and you're catching the ants.
I'd still feel mean.
Well, I guess
that is nature.
He also gives some hints on how to cook them. So he says, capture as many as you can, putting them straight into the water so that they drown while you catch more. So that's, I guess, a better way of doing it. Once you've caught a sizable portion, boil them for about 6 minutes. This will neutralize the acid in their bodies, depending on what kind of ants they are, because I think the acid in the green ants is what made them good, according to Ben Shuri, and he's the best chef in the world. If you have to eat them raw, just make sure they're dead first so they don't bite you.
So are you just talking about any ant? Like, is any ant okay? Because I'm assuming, like, bull ants you shouldn't eat.
Well, yeah, I guess if you boil them for long enough, it's going to neutralize the acid. But it doesn't really say in this article what sort of ants or grasshoppers to catch. They actually give some pointers on catching grasshoppers as well. And I really like this one. The method was, so when and where. Grasshoppers are easiest to catch in the early mornings when they move more slowly. So look for crickets in, so this is crickets and grasshoppers. Look for crickets in damp, dark places first, under rocks, logs, and other large objects. Also check in tall grasses, shrubs, and trees. Try shaking branches above a shirt, sleeping bag, or other piece of fabric and see if any edibles fall onto it. And they say that because this is one of the methods, by wool, blanket, or flannel shirt. So if you happen to have a wool blanket or flannel shirt, place it in the middle of a field or location where grasshoppers seem to be plentiful. Chase the hoppy little bugs onto the flannel or blanket. Their feet will get caught in the fibers a little, hopefully giving you enough time to pluck them off.
God.
So it's like a little trap, a little blanket trap. The method of catching I really liked were for what they call here wood lice, but they're also known as roly-polies or butchie boys or... You know, little...
Slaters?
Slaters.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of names, but they're calling them wood lice, which isn't
the
nicest
name. No, it's not the
best
name.
No, let's go with slaters. So their method is push things over. Sorry, there's two steps. One, push things over. Two, collect bugs.
I feel like they'd be the easiest ones to find.
Yeah.
Well, like they're always under stuff.
But do you know how to cook them?
No.
You just boil them. but it's important to actually, it is important to boil these ones. So drop them in boiling water and leave them there for a while. They can carry nematodes, better known as parasitic roundworms, things you don't want freeloading in your intestines.
That's not something you
want. So be sure they're thoroughly cooked. And when they're done, strain the water out and eat.
In fact, I'm not sure if it's worth the risk, to be honest.
Possibly not.
I'm not going to get medical advice from Backpacker Magazine or wherever you got that.
Yeah, it's probably best not to. Okay, cool. What did we talk about?
Cool. So I talked about ants on scary fairy bread.
And then I taste tested some roasted crickets with chili and garlic.
Then I moved on to some cricket powder and put that on chips.
That was pretty good. Then I interviewed Attica head chef and owner Ben Shuri.
And I debunked the myth about spiders crawling into your mouth when you're asleep.
And I told you how to catch, cook, and eat slaters, among other things.
Yeah, so you can vote for who you thought was the most interesting on our Instagram, which is Ingridipedia. Look, I'm going to start my campaign for sympathy votes right now because Ben did a really, really good interview with the best, one of the best chefs in the world. So,
oh, and if you vote for Ben, really just think about it. You're not just voting for me, you're voting for Ben.
I'd like to take this opportunity to point out that I won the last episode on processed cheese.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Thank you for listening. As always, keep your ingredient suggestions rolling in. This was an example of an ingredient that was suggested by a listener. And so please hit us up on ingridipedia.com.au and tell us what you want us to talk about.
I'd also like to mention the legends who send us food, including Azriel, who sent us some delicious vegan...
we were just discussing how to pronounce that word.
Yeah, so I think it's dulce de leche.
Sure. The pronunciation manual on YouTube says it like this.
Dulce de leche.
But we'll go with
it. It's delicious.
Thank you, Azriel. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next month.